This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Welcome to a special edition of the Live Feed featuring the 2018 Winona Municipal Band under the direction of Levi Lundak. The Winona Municipal Band has been entertaining audiences since 1915. Concerts take place every Wednesday from now through August 15th, beginning at 8 p.m. This week's concert features the following selections: Arioso by J.S. Bach, I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Whitford and Strong, High School Cadets by John Philip Sousa, Music for a Darkened Theater by Danny Elfman, and more. Keep listening as we bring you a treasured summertime tradition in Winona. I'm Bill Stoneberg, inviting you to enjoy this week's presentation of the Winona Municipal Band.
We're so thankful you braved the weather tonight. I'm sure in the audience, it's a cool, cold night to be out here. On the Bandshell stage, it's actually pretty comfortable. So thank you for sticking with us, and we'll make this enjoyable until the rain comes or we're done. Our first selection tonight is Them Basses March. It's subtitled, A March in Which the Basses Have the Melody Throughout. Huffine might have actually included the names of all the lower brass and lower woodwinds in the subtitle, inasmuch as they also have the melody, it's not just the basses or tubas. After the introductions by the cornets, of course, because the cornets want to announce everything. The march was written to sound complete with a minimum number of players, such as a circus band playing for like an elephant act or a small sideshow. However, the basses march is equally suitable for about a 2,000 member band. We're a little short of that number. We won't try and play as loud as 2,000, though. Rhythmically, it swings and has a nice lilt and fun feel, and it's often not as recognized as a Sousa march, but equally as popular to many people. Here's Them Basses March from 1924. Thank you. Yes, even those low brass, low woodwind voices need to be recognized. They work hard and, well, take a lot of grief. So thank you so much. Our next piece is a transcription by William Hill from Johann Sebastian Bach. It's Aria Oso from Cantata number 156, and you probably do not remember that, nor do you care. But Bach wrote many lovely melodies, and this one is going to feature our flute section. I'm not in charge, really. Well, the arranger is obviously has some worldly experiences that led him to Bach, but he noted that Bach was very famous for directing music in churches of St. Thomas and St. Nicholas, the cantor at Thomasschule in Leipzig for the last 27 years of his life. And many of his greatest works were composed during that period. He wrote a lot, but really influenced music in that time at Leipzig, and that's where this came from. So we hope you enjoy Arioso by J.S. Bach, featuring our flute section. Now, typically, we don't feature sections or groups this early in the season, but the flutes tonight were to whet your appetite, like an appetizer of music. For next week, we shall have Janet and Eric Hoikeshoven playing a nice little duet on euphonium and piccolo. So please come on back, tell all your friends for Janet and Eric, one short week away. This next piece has quite an introduction, so this might take a moment. The title is Call of the Wild, and it's based on the novel of the same name. Call of the Wild is a musical portrayal of the story by American author Jack London, taking place in the Yukon during the 19th century. The story follows Buck, a domesticated St. Bernard / Scotch sheep mix, who is taken from his comfortable life in California and subjected to the brutal life of a sled dog. As he endures harsh treatment from humans, other animals, and nature itself, he struggles with his identity and eventually gives in to his natural instincts, which help him become a natural leader in the wild. Each section of the piece is titled after a chapter in the novel. The opening section, Into the Primitive, serves an introduction to the entire work and underscores the brutal introduction to the primitive law, where might makes right. If you're stronger, you survive. The dissonant portions of things create the immediate feeling of uneasiness, and the bold brass fanfare signal the distant call of the wild. This is all taking place as Buck begins to adjust to his new surroundings, to the dissonant trills give way to full fanfares, indicating Buck's greater growing resolve to do whatever it takes to stay alive. The second section is entitled The Dominant Primordial Beast. It depicts the chapter in which Buck and his rival Spitz become increasingly hostile towards each other. So the music really mirrors this. The rivalry between Buck and Spitz grows until the final battle between the two. The energy of this section has great urgency, yet grows slowly and decidedly as the two dogs battle for supremacy, leading to, of course, Buck eventually finishing Spitz off. The Toil of Trace and Trail follows. It's chapter 5 in the book, in case you're Googling it right now. And Buck is sold to two inexperienced men and a spoiled one. Under their ownership, the dogs begin to starve, bad things happen, Buck has to get out of there. The music finally reaches resolution with For the Love of a Man. Buck develops a strong affection for the man who saved his life from the bad owners previously. Thornton treats him with respect and kindness, and Buck in turn becomes extremely loyal and protective of his new master. Buck saves Thornton, the new master's, life several times and begins to have a conflict between his loyalty to Thornton, meaning domestication, and his identity as a wild animal. So this story is all played out just in the music. We hope you enjoy Call of the Wild by Brian Balmages. So many composers back in the day often wrote by using a different name. First published in 1916 by F.J.A. Forster in Chicago, Charles Johnson, who wrote Blue Goose Rag, appeared under the pseudonym of Raymond Birch. Maybe he did some market analysis thinking something by Raymond Birch would sell better. We don't know. Originally, he writes about the piece this: I was attracted to Blue Goose Rag by its lack of overt pianistic qualities. Most rags were played on a piano. Very popular ones by Scott Joplin people know routinely, but he liked this one that it didn't sound as much like it was always on a piano. So we would like to perform Blue Goose Rag by Charles Johnson, AKA Raymond Birch.
This fall, 2 hours prior to every Winona State Warrior football game, is the Warrior Game Day Experience. The Warrior Game Day Experience is set up to boost campus, fan, and community spirit. It's also a great way to heighten awareness of your area business, nonprofit organization, or club. Free space is available for any or all home games this season. Opening day is September 8th. For information on how to become a part of the Warrior Game Day experience, contact Tracy Hale by email. It's thale, H-A-L-E, at winona.edu or call 507-457-2846. This fall, we hope you become a part of the Warrior Game Day experience.
Our friends to the east, specifically in one small town, are known for many things. The town of New Glarus, to musicians, is known for Larry Dane, the composer. This next selection is by Larry. It's Highland Echoes. It's subtitled Fantasy on Old Scottish Melodies. The concert band setting is based on 18th century Scottish folk songs you'll probably recognize. Highland Dance is the first one. It's also known as Oh, This Is No My Ain Lassie. It's heard earlier, and The Lass of Gowrie, also known as Twas on a Summer's Afternoon, a little later in the piece. It keeps developing these tunes and probably two supremely well-known Scottish melodies come in a little later. One is Scotland the Brave. If you've ever seen a movie like Braveheart, it's incessant throughout the whole movie. And then something we hold closer to New Year's Eve, Auld Lang Syne is a traditional Scottish melody. So you also hear those four, all interwoven and played throughout the piece. Highland Echoes by Larry Dane. Thank you. We're going to divert from what's printed in the program to, well, basically tell another story. This band has been around for over 100 years consecutively. We celebrated Stephanie Colburn, the granddaughter of the director, way back in 1915. Myron Haug, previous director, still plays a tuba. Let's give Myron a hand. And Dr. Richard Lindner often attends concerts when he can as well. Previous to Dr. Lindner, Hal Edstrom directed this band, and he helped found Hal Leonard Corporation. But one of the stories that goes back in this band, because there are people on stage who have played for 50 consecutive years. Some of them are hitting year 50 this year. Others are just in year one or two, but some have honestly been on the stage almost every year for 50 years. And one of the old stories was he'd look at not quite have enough music, and what is he gonna do? He needs to play. So there's always one piece that everyone always had ready. And we're gonna play that tonight. It's Patricia by Prez Prado. Hope you enjoy it, an old school filler tune, Patricia. Our next selection, most people probably know from a few different iterations, regardless of what generation you might be from. I Heard It Through the Grapevine is a song written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong from Motown Records in 1966. The first recording of the song was released and produced by Whitfield for Gladys Knight and the Pips, not who many thought it was for. And that was released as a single in 1967, and it went pretty popular on the Billboard charts, up to number two. The Miracles, Flash and the Band Group, recorded the song as well and included their version on a 68 album called Special Occasion. Now, the one most of us probably recognize from the early eras is the Marvin Gaye version, and that was placed on his 68 album in the groove. That one gained the attention of more disc jockeys and Motown founder Berry Gordy. He finally agreed to release a single of it in 68 when it spent weeks on top of the Billboard charts, so higher than Gladys Knight and the Pips had. 7 weeks that year, from December to January, and became the all-time like biggest hit for a single Motown label at that time, and still a classic. So the Gaye recording has since known to acclaimed soul classic, even in 2004 recognized as one of the top songs by Rolling Stone, Billboard, all of those magazines. Well, how many people also know it, if you're not quite in the Marvin Gaye era, is in 2008, his Grapevine still ranked pretty high and made it to the Hall of Fame. So it was 1986, Claymation made a huge comeback. The California Raisin song, dancing to I Heard It Through the Grapevine. We should have had raisins to pass out. We neglected that, but you can still hear it through the grapevine. There was a great admiration that existed between John Philip Sousa and the school bands of America, and that has caused many musicians and writers to conclude that this march, entitled The High School Cadets, was composed as a salute to the school band movement. However, it was actually written 20 years before that movement had begun. It was composed at the solicitation of Marching Cadet Corps of the one and only Washington, D.C. High School at that time, circa 1890. It's later called Central High School in D.C., and it was dedicated to the teachers and pupils of the school there. We hope you enjoy John Philip Sousa's The High School Cadets. We mentioned before that piece was solicited for him to write. He made a whopping $24 for writing that piece for them. Now composers make, well, about $1,000 or more per minute of music. So he was probably happy with the 24 because it was quite a chunk of change at the time. Our next piece is entitled Music for a Darkened Theater, though most of these selections come from movies. It's an unmistakable and distinct style. You've probably heard it many times, but might not realize it's the music of Danny Elfman. It's found in many classic, but yet offbeat or spooky movies. He seems to specialize in that genre. This medley has some that we'll announce, but he's also done things like the original Batman trilogy, way back with Val Kilmer, Arnold Schwarzenegger was in some of them. It's been a while. But he did the music for all the Batmans. This arrangement includes music from Edward Scissorhands, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Spider-Man, not the recent Spider-Mans, but the ones with Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst, Beetlejuice, and Tales from the Crypt. We hope you enjoy Music for a Darkened Theater, music from Danny Elfman. Thank you. like to thank you again for coming out tonight. Please join us next week. Again, Eric and Jenna will be playing a solo, and we'll have different events happening all summer, Wednesday nights in 2 weeks. It's our 4th of July show, actually on the 4th of July this year. Plus, Dr. Frank is already practicing something, as well as a special treat at the end of July. So keep sticking with us or join us on radio or TV. Thank you so much and have a wonderful evening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to KQAL's presentation of the Winona Municipal Band under the direction of Levi Lundak. Free live performances can be seen every Wednesday night at 8 at the historic Bandshell in Lake Park through August 15th. If you can't make it down to the Bandshell, the concerts will air here on 89.5 KQAL every Sunday at noon. You can also listen back to today's performance on our website at kqal.org. The live feed is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.